Buddha Shri Guru Varga Vandita Mahabhavandithaya Sada Purva Parya Parampara Prachalita Prajya Pramurta Krite Bhaktir Nirmala Nirjarasya Nibritang Sangrakatam Sadaram Vande Shri Guru Deva Manata Shira Acharya Varjam Nijam Kurva Bhishta Supurakam Guru Ganaya Rishisha Sambhushitam Chintya Chintya Samasta Veda Nipunam Shri Rupa Pantangam Govinda Viramujjalam Vartanam Bhaktyanvitam Sundaram Vande Vishwagurum Chadivya Bhagavat Premna Hibhija Pradam Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasana Bhavacha Patitanam Pavane Bho Vaishnavi Bho Namo Nama Hari Purita Sundara Dutika Dhamba Sandipita Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuratuva Shachinandana Nilambodhitate Sada Svaviraha Kepanditam Vandavan Srimad Bhagavati Katha Madiraya Sanjeevayam Bhattija Srimad Bhagavatam Vanayana Srinayanai Pujayan Gosami Prabharo Gadadhara Vibhur Bhuyat Madeka Gati Shri Guru Gaura Gandharva Govinda Sundaram Raya Jayanti Saganair Nityam Sarva Bhishta Pradayina Vinaya Itulasa Devai Priya Itusavasya Krishna Bhakti Paravi Satya Vatya Namunam Jai Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Jiu Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Nirmala Charja Maharaj Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Rakhak Sridhar Dev Swami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Ki Jai Srila Sachidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai Guru Guru Bharag Ki Jai Namacharja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai Shri Gaura Shakti Bharag Ki Jai Shri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat Ki Jai Samavita Gaura Bhakta Vrind Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Nithai Gaura Premanande Haribu. So today is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. This is the main news of the day. And we have one lecture of Srila Govinda Maharaj from this day in 2004. I just have a raw transcript, but I'd like to go through it for the satisfaction of you all. This is when he spoke to Madhusudan for the internet. So he says, Guru Maharaj many times told the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth there gave awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. Our path of glory leads. Day by day I am going very soon down. Health position is very bad, but I am so enthusiastic to hear and see the devotees' activity all over the world that they are very enthusiastic. They are trying to preach Krishna consciousness. And you are also trying to spread Krishna consciousness, and I am very happy for that. I may be sick, but you are all as active and good. In this way, our preaching must continue. That is my hope. Guru Maharaj has given me charge alone and told, as you like, you can manage, as your service moves, meaning according to your service moves. And I am trying and doing, and I am successful, no doubt. Today in Russia, America, England, Mauritius, Malaysia, Singapore, everywhere our preaching program is going on very nicely. New centers are opening. Ukraine, there is Kiev, a new center we are opening. Today is a very good day. That Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Dev, his dearmost associate, Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, his Avirbhav Titi is today. And it is very auspicious for everyone, because Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is an incarnation of Radharani, and Mahaprabhu taken his mood of service for the satisfaction of his own divine form as Sri Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Dev. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was always like his shadow and was always with Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu came from childhood, they were both students. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Giradhar Pandit. Then when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Giradhar also took sannyas with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu settled in Puri Dham, and Giradhar Pandit also settled in Puri Dham. Not only that, he even took Khetra sannyas. Khetra sannyas means that place that sannyasi will not leave. That is Khetra sannyas. And that Khetra is Purushottam Khetra, Puri Dham. I can remember our Guru Maharaj, he composed one shloka for Giradhar Goswami. He maybe composed many, but one shloka for Giradhar Goswami is very famous. Nilambhori tate sada subiraha kepan vitang bandavan Srimad Bhagavati katha madiraya sanjivayan bhattija Srimad Bhagavatam sada svanashrunayanai pujayan Goswami prabharo gadadhara vibhur bhuyat mareka gati. This shloka, very famous shloka, and meaning is so exalted. Nilambhori tate Mahaprabhu Radha Krishna, combined form became Mahaprabhu. Two cause, one, rescuing all over the world and planets. And second, he is Krishna himself trying to taste which way Radharani tasted the divine mood of service of Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Bikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmat. This shloka of Surab Damodar also. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vana Yaiva Svadyo Jainad Muta Bhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vah Madhya Sokam Chasya Madanu Bhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tab Bhavadya Samajani Sachigarbha Sindho Harindu. To understand, to know the Krishna Prem and which way Radharani tasted that, Krishna wants to taste that, and to do that, he took the divine form of Radharani. That Krishna, when he was feeling separation, so much separation, union and separation, that was the target of the tasting life of Mahaprabhu. And when he was in a mood of so much separation, that time he fainted. Sveda, Kampa, Stamba, Ashru, Pulak, Vaibarnya, etc. So many symptoms of Mahabhav in his divine form were seen. That means trembling, perspiration, stupefaction, tears, turning pale, these type of things. That time Giradhar Pandit served Mahaprabhu near the bank of the ocean, Nilambodhi. Always Mahaprabhu is there in a mood of separation, and Giradhar Pandit, he is serving Mahaprabhu and giving Mahaprabhu full nourishment with Srimad Bhagavatam, singing the song of Bhagavatam, chanting the Bhagavatam in front of Mahaprabhu and giving nourishment. Not, quote, some nourishment, full nourishment. Like someone, when a friend is very sad in a separation mood, other friends sometimes are giving wine for drinking. When a friend is sad and in a mood of separation, sometimes other friends are giving some wine for drinking. Like that, Giradhar Pandit supplied the wine of Srimad Bhagavat Katha to Mahaprabhu for giving good nourishment. And Mahaprabhu crying, and Giradhar Pandit also crying with him. He is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam with tears, and through that Srimad Bhagavatam, the alphabet becoming melted. Like that means washed away. But it is his worshipping to Mahaprabhu, always giving good nourishment with Srimad Bhagavat Katha, etc. And giving some joy in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This way he is living with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was living in the Gambhira with Ramananda Rai, Surab Damodar and Giradhar Pandit. And far from that place, Giradhar Pandit was living with Gopinath. Tota Gopinath, you have seen, the devotees have seen in Puri, Tota Gopinath. There Giradhar Pandit, by the order of Mahaprabhu, served Tota Gopinath. And Mahaprabhu, after taking bath, sometimes would go to Giradhar Pandit. And Giradhar Pandit would collect some spinach and rice, and taking that as prasadam, Mahaprabhu would stay with him. Anyhow, many devotees, they were very affectionate with Giradhar. Cannot say fully, cannot do full glorification of Giradhar Pandit Goswami. We are so fortunate that Bhaktivinoda Thakur told us, Gaur Gadadhar is the supreme worshipable deity in this world. He lived in Svananda Sukhada Kunj in Navadvip, and while living there, he manifested Gaur Gadadhar Puja. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day is the same day as the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. Jai. Shrimati Kushim Ashram Maharaj Ki Jai. Gadadhar Pandit was born on Amavasya and disappeared on Amavasya. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur composed one poetry. There it is written, Gadadhar Deen Dari Payache Gaura Hari. Dekite Dekite Sri Radha Madhav Rupite Konibe Allah. Gaur Gadadhar will become the divine form of Radha Krishna. And Radharani's mood with Gadadhar Pandit and Mahaprabhu take in the mood and color of Radharani. That Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, when Mahaprabhu first appeared as a devotee, after coming from Gaya, that time, hearing the news, Gadadhar Pandit was crying. And Mahaprabhu was crying also. But Mahaprabhu heard someone was crying and told, your Gadadhar is there. And Mahaprabhu said, Gadadhar, you are from childhood a devotee of Krishna, but my childhood I lost with studying material knowledge. You are more than me. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he was very renounced mentality. And Mukunda took Gadadhar Pandit to Pundarik Vidyanidhi when he came to Navadvip. Pundarik Vidyanidhi's style was like a king, and he would sit in his bed, and two persons, always with the peacock fan, were giving air to him. And with curling hair and full king's dress, he would sit there. Seeing this, Gadadhar was a little disturbed. What kind of Vaishnav am I seeing? What does Mukunda want to show me? But Mukunda understood Gadadhar's mentality. And then Mukunda sang one shloka from Srimad Bhagavat. Aho bhakiyam stanakala kutam jighang saya payayadapya sadvi leve gatin datrichitam tatunyam kumbhadayalam sharanam brajema. This shloka hearing, kumbhadayalam sharanam brajema, kumbhadayalam sharanam brajema. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very much melted with Krishna Prem and make massacre everything there, his dress, his room, everything. Gadadhar Pandit, after seeing, he is thinking, I made so much offense, I cannot recognize this Vaishnava. Which way shall I get relief from Vaishnava Parad? If I shall take shelter as a disciple of his divine grace, then I will get relief from Vaishnava Parad. And he told to Mukunda, my offensive mentality will go by his grace if he will give me mantram. Mukunda was very happy to hear that because Gadadhar Pandit's divine form was previously that of Radharani and Pundarik Vidyanidhi's divine form was that of Vrishabhanu Raj. Then they are both like daughter and father relations. And together when that happened, when Gadadhar accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as his guru. But that Gadadhar, after living with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forgot his mantra. Mahaprabhu became so much separation from Krishna, like mad, and Gadadhar, from far he is serving Mahaprabhu and always thinking about Mahaprabhu's situation. Then he forgot his mantra. And one day he told to Mahaprabhu, I forgot my mantra, you give me that mantra. Mahaprabhu said, no, your guru is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is coming here very soon, you can take your mantra again from him. This happened, it is a miracle. Mahaprabhu did not want to disturb this Guru Parampara. This is an example of that. Anyhow, I cannot talk anymore today. Today is a very good day and very happy day for us because today is the appearance of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. No one can understand Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Mahaprabhu himself told and also all the devotees, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur very carefully told about Gadadhar Pandit's divine mood of service to Mahaprabhu. Anyhow, my prayer, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, given his divine knowledge to me, and I will understand his divine form as a servitor of Chaitanya Dev, as a servitor of our Sampradaya. And many big disciples we can see in the society of Gadadhar Pandit. He initiated so many big persons. And they all were associates of Rupa Sanatan. This is little I glorified Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. I prayed Srila Gadadhar will give me his divine mercy and the divine servicing mood to Srila Guru Maharaj. This is my prayer to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. I want to say more but cannot do now. Hare Krishna. That's the end. So this was a talk Srila Govinda Maharaj gave in 2006 on this day. It's just a raw transcript, so it's a little, maybe not the easiest to read or follow.
From Bengali?
No, just an English lecture he gave to Madhusudan on the phone. Maybe devotees were also there, and they probably were. I wasn't there, I don't know. Would you like to say anything about Gadadhar Pandit? So maybe I'll just recap what's here. You know, there's one very nice story that Gurudev mentioned. You know, we know that Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, they were friends. Or not friends immediately, but they were known to each other their entire life. They were almost the same age, and they lived together in Navadip. And Gadadhar, from a very young age, he had a natural devotional mood and was, you know, practicing devotion, so to speak, from his very early life. And was always associating with the devotees and things, and during that time they would see this very beautiful, lean, tall, graceful boy, Nimai, but always this boy very proud and very argumentative and, you know, interested so much in logic and argument and sophistry. And they just thought, if this boy were a devotee, oh my, he would be glorious. But anyhow, you know, he's so concerned with these intellectual things, you know, we don't want his association. And sometimes it's said that Mahaprabhu, he could see also Gadadhar had some special qualities, some beautiful nature, and would be like an exemplary devotee, leading devotee. So sometimes he wanted to debate with Gadadhar, make some, you know, trouble for Gadadhar. And it said that sometimes Nimai would come up, "Oh, Gadadhar, come, I have some matter to discuss with you." And Gadadhar would walk walking the other way to avoid Mahaprabhu. And would try to get out of any instance where he would have to argue with Mahaprabhu or get, you know, maybe Mahaprabhu would make some trick with, you know, whatever. Because we know devotee, their faith, their appreciation for the Lord isn't dependent on some type of argument. Someone can come to them and say, "Oh, you know, what you're doing is not a good idea because of X, Y, or Z." It's like, well, who cares? Like, a devotee's, you know, motivation and conviction is within their heart, and no amount of, you know, juxtapositions of premises and conclusions or trying to force a devotee to accept particular postulates upon which you can establish conclusions contrary to the way they believe. They have no affinity for such things, and no real consideration for them either. You know, last night we were talking about the qualities necessary for devotion: utsaha, nishchaya, darjaya. Nishchayata means certainty, firm conviction, and specifically it means firm conviction in siddhanta, to be firmly fixed in the perfect conclusions that are given by our Guru Varga about that, you know, a life of pure devotion is the only way to proceed in one's life, that this is all in all and all else is reducible and rejectable. This type of exclusive certainty and conviction is necessary in the heart of a devotee to practice. Anyhow, so Gadadhar Pandit, we can say he had total certainty in faith and no interest in argumentation and things like this. So Mahaprabhu would sometimes come to try to make some arguments, and Gadadhar would run away and avoid him. But nevertheless, all the devotees we heard also in Chaitanya Bhagavad, like Advaitacharya, many times, when Vishwarup would come to Advaitacharya's house, they would have some Bhagavad pot, Gita pot, and some Sankirtan, these things. And sometimes when Shachimata had finished cooking, she would send Vishwambar at the age of 4 or 5 to go tell Vishwarup, oh, come back for prasadam, come home for dinner. And sometimes he would come, and like we see in the street sometimes, it's like a little boy, he'll be maybe naked, but just have this little string with a bell on it, you know, or like, not so many clothes or whatever. So sometimes Mahaprabhu, he would sort of like come in to Advaita Charges, not, you know, like courtyard where they're having Gitapat, and be like, oh, Vishwarup, come home, you know, like this. And all the people would be so melted by the divine form of Mahaprabhu. How beautiful is this boy? How charming, how graceful is this young boy? So Mahaprabhu was always known to the devotees, and very much his qualities were always very much appreciated by the devotees. But he had this disqualification of you know, disinterest in devotional life. So the devotees had to keep some separateness from him. But all the while they're thinking, oh, if this Nimai would ever appreciate, you know, then oh, we would so warmly embrace him within our midst. Then, you know, years go by, and Mahaprabhu goes to Gaya. His father passes away, and Gaya is I think the most kind of prominent place in all of India to perform the homages to the departed ancestors. I don't know exactly, some place, it's some, there's like a, I don't know, there's some Puranic history behind that. It's like the main place where you offer homage to the, or but I can't remember the story, but I'm sure somebody could tell you. But so Mahaprabhu went there as this like act of being a good son and exemplary person and things like this. He goes to Gaya. But also, even before this, he had little bit devotional inspiration, because he was an author of grammar and logic books. And once, one devotee named Ishwarapuri had come to Mayapur. And Ishwarapuri was an exalted Vaishnava, but also a very exalted scholar. And Mahaprabhu had met him, Ishwarapuri had come begging to Mahaprabhu's house. We know Mahaprabhu's mother and father, they fed Madhavendra Puri, they fed many great Vaishnavas. They were very pious people. So this Ishwarapuri came, he met this very intelligent young boy, and Mahaprabhu could see, oh, there's this sadhu, but he's very intelligent. Maybe he can proofread my book. Maybe he can make sure what I've written is correct. So he asked Ishwarapuri to please correct some of his sutras and things he had written. And in this way, some relationship with Ishwarapuri was established. And later, you know, but through his association, something came into the heart of Mahaprabhu. And because we know, we were just discussing recently, the origin of all devotion is the devotee. This is where all devotion comes from. And Mahaprabhu's pastimes are an example of this principle. I was just discussing with Nisringa Chaitanya this sloka. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta bhakti parijayate. No, that's the next line. Anyway, it's saying that all bhakti stu bhagavad bhakti parijayate. Anyway, saying all devotion comes from the devotee. Or we hear Krishna bhakti janmo mool hoy sadhu sangha. The root of the origin of all Krishna bhakti is the sadhu. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra, you know. All perfection can be obtained from sadhu sangha. Or, you know, souls wandering, just as a log sometimes may wash up on the shore of an ocean, souls wandering throughout this universe may come upon the association of a great sadhu. And by that, become, just that sets in motion a process which results in their liberation. Anyhow, it's many main things, but in general we know this principle and conclusion of the scriptures of pure devotion, that all devotion comes from the devotee. And in categorical language we can also say, you know, that all devotion is the property of the Ladini Shakti, or the potency which gives satisfaction to Krishna, which is governed and personified by Srimati Radharani. So by her delegation, by her consent, others are given entrance and some connection or some access to this resource known as devotion, or that which brings satisfaction to Krishna. So Mahaprabhu came across the association of Ishwarapuri. And then, later when he went to Gaya to do the worship of his, for departing of his father, he also saw Ishwarapuri there. And he was so happy to see Ishwarapuri again there. And he, by being in this holy place and these things, he became very inspired. Something came into his heart and he requested initiation from Ishwarapuri. And he is described there that while he was staying there for some time, he cooked personally for Ishwarapuri. And this is the only place I've ever seen any scriptures where it describes Mahaprabhu himself cooking. So many stories of Mahaprabhu accepting prasadam. So many glorious pastimes of this person's cooking, that person's cooking, and Advaita Charja, and Sita Takurani, and Shachi Devi, and Amoga, and Sarvabhauma, and so many lilas with the Mahaprabhu taking prasad. But this time, at the very beginning, he's disciple, and he got to cook for his Gurudev. And it just describes like how much affection, how much loving attachment Mahaprabhu cooked for Ishwarapuri in Gaya. No one can describe what type of prasadam was personally cooked and presented by Mahaprabhu himself. So Ishwarapuri, he took that cooking of Mahaprabhu in Gaya. And this way Mahaprabhu satisfied his Gurudev, and received his Gurudev's mercy, received his all these things, and instantaneously began exhibiting the devotion of a Mahabhagavat. Mahaprabhu, he did not show the examples of, struggling with an artha nivritti or whatever, it was like, he got initiation, he started taking Krishna Nam and instantaneously experienced atma satvika vikar. Like, instantaneously, his hair is standing on end, tears are pouring out of his eyes, he's trembling, he's stupefied, and he comes back to Ishwarapuri. What have you done to me? What is this? What type of mantra have you given me? It's making me puggle, it's making me a madman. What have you done? And Ishwarapuri says, oh, you are very fortunate. You are most fortunate. Many people, they'll chant this type of mantra for 10 million, for koti janma, 10 million lifetimes, and not get this type of result, not get this type of experience. But you, in one day, you've gotten. What type of fortune you have? You do not know. But you've got it, and it will be. You will feel the significance of that. So don't worry. It's okay. Keep chanting. So then Mahaprabhu, and then it's described, he starts chanting, and then the first expression of Mahaprabhu in his mood of a devotee, he says, Krishna re bap re mora jivan shri hari, kon dike gele mora prana kari churi. He says, oh my lord, oh Krishna, where have you gone? Krishna Reva Mora Jivan, my life and soul, Sri Hari, you are my heart, you are the object of my love and affection, you are my heart and soul. Kon dike gele mora pran kari churi. But you've stolen, you're my heart, but you've stolen my heart. You're my life and soul, and then you've gone, you've left, you've gone away. So now I'm in this feeling, this condition, as though my heart has been stolen. You've made yourself my heart and soul, and now you've gone away. And now I feel as though my heart and life is stolen. So, and I don't know which way you've gone. Not only have I been robbed, but I can't even run after the robber. Will I run this way? Will I run that way? I don't know even which way to run. So then this is vipralamba. This is instantaneous mood of separation from Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, immediately he's in this stage of devotion, in this level of devotion from the very beginning. Just upon taking Krishna Nam once, he's in this stages of ecstasy of a Mahabhagavat. So then Mahaprabhu returns after some time to Navadvipa, and he comes, and this time the devotees, they'd been suffering so much because the Muslims had been cracking down on these rowdy Vaishnavas. And also the other Hindus had become very annoyed with them, because in Srivas Thakur's house, always so much Sankirtan, very late going, sometimes rowdy Sankirtan. And the other Hindus are getting annoyed, oh, what is this? You know, I can understand some chanting of the holy names on a codicy or on for some sacrificial purpose, but every day, all the time, in the morning, late at night, what is this? What is the necessity of this? There's so much power in the chanting of the holy name. You'll get so much piety just by chanting it a few times. Why do you have to chant all the time? What is necessary? What is the necessity of this? This is so much racket just to get so much unnecessary extra piety. You'll have your pious life no problem. You know, this is the karmakanda misconception. But anyway, many Hindus thinking like this, and many Muslims cannot tolerate this racket, this nonsense, this idolatry. Ah, this is terrible. So the Muslims, they come and they tell Srivas Thakur, you gotta stop this. Any more of this late night Sankirtan, this rowdy about the town nonsense, we're gonna break your house and throw it in the Ganges. You keep it up, we'll break your house and throw it in the Ganges as soon as we finish. And then Srivas Thakur, he becomes stirred. Oh my gosh, you know. And then, but the devotees, they think, oh, we cannot stop. Not Mahaprabhu yet, but Nisringadev, Bhagavan, he will protect us. Vishnu, Chakra will protect us. We have nothing to fear. If we are, you know, true to our cause, we cannot give up our devotional practices, even in the face of danger. We must continue. Then, you know, the Muslim government people, they observe, oh, we have threatened you and you will continue? Then they tell him, alright, we're calling our SP from Krishnagar to come arrest you, more or less. Like, our, you know, guy's coming. So then they call from wherever it was, and then he's sent. And Srivas Thakur gets word, okay, the Muslim magistrate or the Muslim whoever is coming with his band of guys to arrest you and break your house. So Srivas is like, becomes very scared. Oh no, what will happen? What will become of us? They're on the way to break our house. You know, now is the moment, my lord, please, you have to protect us. We're in great danger. And just at this time, Mahaprabhu returns from Gaya. And he's chanting Harinam and abounding with his mood of devotion. And he comes and he meets with his relatives and things like that, and then a few of the devotees, I forget which one, maybe Shuklambar or
Sriman Acha, along with all the one is mentioned there, Sriman and Murari perhaps.
Yes, I don't remember. So they see, and then Mahaprabhu says, he pacifies his relatives, but he says,
Sadashiva.
Okay. Sadashiva and Sriman. And then he says, I want to have a meeting with the devotees. Can you collect the local Vaishnavas? I want to have a meeting with them. And they agree, but then they can see there's something different about Mahaprabhu. You know, it's not some, you know, argue something else. There's some genuine purpose. And then they have some meeting, and Mahaprabhu says, oh, I have met Ishvara, you know, and reveals something, like, about his experience and his, you know, good things. And then he says, but, and he talks with them all very happily, and he says, but, and then at the end of the meeting, he says, so I have told you the joy in my heart. I'm very happy to meet with you. And tomorrow, I want to meet with you again, and I want to tell you also of some sadness within my heart. I have some pain in my heart. Tomorrow we can meet again, I shall discuss that. Then they all go back, and then the rumors and the buzz goes through the town, and all the Vaishnavas are in ecstasy. Oh my God! And all these things. And then the next day, Mahaprabhu speaks with the devotees and expresses his heart and his mood and feelings of separation from Krishna.
That was on the house of Shuklambar.
Shuklambar, okay, yes. And this time when Mahaprabhu is expressing his feelings and discussing with the devotees very intimately, and they're all astonished and enchanted to see these such exalted expressions of devotion from Mahaprabhu, and they're crying, and Mahaprabhu is crying and these things. And that time, some sound they hear, and then, what is this? And then they hear someone else crying some distance away. You're saying, who's crying? What is this? Mahaprabhu says, you know, who's crying? Where is someone? And they say, oh, that is Gadadhar. He is hiding in the next room, and he is crying to hear about your hearing all these things from you and all this. He is crying. And they say, you're Gadadhar. And then Mahaprabhu, he goes, he embraces Gadadhar. He brings Gadadhar in front of all the devotees, and he glorifies Gadadhar. And he said, oh, you know, you are more fortunate than me. You have been a devotee your whole life. From your very young age, you have had natural love and affection for Krishna. But I, such kind of devotional fortune, I don't have. You are more than me, Gadadhar. And from that moment on, then they were very intimately related and spent the rest of their lives as very intimate friends. And so Gurudev briefly touching on that story in his talk. And then, you know, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then Gadadhar accompanied him through the jungle and followed him in his trance, and then came with him to Puri, and then lived with him in Puri, and stayed, had his own temple near Jameshwar in Tota Gopinath. His devotees have probably gone there and seen that. And there Mahaprabhu would come and they would hear Bhagavatam. And Tota means garden. There's a very beautiful garden there near the Gopinath deity. And Gadadhar would live and worship Gopinath and grow, you know, things in his garden. And there's descriptions of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu coming over to his temple, and then he'll go out in the garden and pick some sabji and some tamarind from his trees and cook some rice and some shak and some chutney, and then they'll all take prasadam and things. Like, there's one instance where it says that Nityananda Prabhu came from Bengal one year and comes to Gadadhar, and he brought some special Bengali rice that they only had in Bengal to Puri, because he knew Gadadhar was a Bengali and he knew Gadadhar would appreciate that. So then they're, oh, very nice. So then they cook the Bengali rice, and then Gadadhar picks some sabji or shak or something from the garden and cooks the sabji, and they cook the rice. And then they're very happy, and they just came, and him and Nityananda Prabhu, old friends, and they're just about to take prasadam. And then, all of a sudden, Mahaprabhu busts in. What is this? Like, you're going to take prasadam without me? And he says, oh, from so far, I smelled the scent of Gadadhar's cooking. Gadadhar is making rice, Gadadhar's making, I smelled this. And that, just the smell of Gadadhar Pandit's prasadam can give people Krishna prem. This, just the smell of this prasadam will immediately give anyone Krishna prem. So I smelled this smell, I immediately came here, and now I'm seeing, oh, you too, you are in ecstasy like this without me. And then they're, oh, and then they immediately welcome Mahaprabhu, and then the three of them together take the Bengali rice with Gadadhar Pandit's sabji, and then relishing their friendship together. And no, and this sloka of Srila Sridhar Maharaj told, then, you know, Mahaprabhu would hear Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit regularly there. And generally it's described that this would be to mitigate his feelings of separation from the Lord. But we hear that it's not only that, you know, Madhura Rasa Leela was described or something, but that Mahaprabhu would hear Dhruva Charitra Prahlad Charitra, Ambarish Charitra. You'd hear these things over and over again. Means, like, the story of Dhruva obtaining the Lord's mercy, the story of Ambarish Maharaj, you know. You'd hear many aspects of the Bhagavatam, and he would hear these things, like, thousands of times. And he would every time relish them and have some new appreciation for them. And Mahaprabhu was relishing all, like, stages and modes of devotion and getting so much taste and appreciation of that. And also, no doubt, you know, many aspects of Krishna Leela and the gopi separation from Krishna were described. And so together they would cry on the bank of the ocean there in Gadadhar Pandit's temple and read Bhagavatam. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj's analogy is just as someone gives wine to a person who's morose, Gadadhar Pandit would give the wine of this Harikatha, Bhagavat Katha to Mahaprabhu. So when Srila Sridhar Maharaj was going to write his sloka, make his sloka collection of the 300 verses that express the gist of the rasa present in Bhagavatam, he wrote this as a pranam to Gadadhar Pandit and said, you're presenting the gist of these things to Mahaprabhu, this rasa to Mahaprabhu for him to relish. So by your mercy, I will be able to properly consolidate and make the essential collection of these things. So I'm praying to you before I begin. And anyhow, that job was never finished. Srila Sridhar Maharaj joked. He said, my Guru Maharaj used to call me an ease lover. Srila Govinda Maharaj a few times talked about completing that and sometimes discussed those points with different devotees, but also that never fully took place. But anyhow, so this relationship of Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar was there. They're very intimate friends. And also later we heard that Srinivasacharya, he came to Puri to learn Bhagavatam from Gadadhar, and Gadadhar said, oh, I'll teach you, but my Bhagavatam is ruined. My Bhagavatam has been washed away by my tears, by Mahaprabhu's tears. It cannot be read. So you'll need to bring another Bhagavatam, and then I can teach you. And this was when he was very old. And then Srinivas went back to Bengal to get a Bhagavatam, and by the time he came back to Puri, Gadadhar had already departed from the world. But by that, just that desire and expressed intention of the Vaishnava, we know eventually Srinivas became like supreme pundit of the Bhagavatam and preached Bhagavatam all over Bengal and got that revelation. And as Gurudev also mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped Gaur Gadadhar, and he quoted this song from the Kalyan Kalpa Taru where Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, oh, I'm worshipping Gaur Gadadhar, and then in trance before me, Gaur Gadadhar becoming Radha Krishna, and I'm entering into Braja Leela through this worship. So this was, anyway, we've heard the sort of connection between Gadadhar Pandit and Bhaktivinoda. Okay, would anyone else like to comment anything? Glories of Gadadhar Pandit Maharaj? Anything? Jagadananda Prabhu, would you like to say anything? Question, yeah. Oh, right.
Gadadhar Pandit was what left of Radharani with her Bhav and Kanti's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And he referred to him as a little bit like a ghost. It's a little bit bereft of his entire self. It's been taken by Mahaprabhu. Is that correct? Am I remembering that?
Yes, I mean, basically just as Jagadananda Prabhu was mentioning, Srila Sridhar Maharaj described him as like someone who'd had his wealth stolen and was just running after the thief. Had no kind of feeling that he could exist comfortably on his own or anything. He had this like angst-ridden feeling of urgent dependence upon Mahaprabhu. And that's shown when Mahaprabhu leaves Puri. He's like, follows Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu tells him, go back, and he just can't go back. And he says, you're going to break your vow, you know, and he says, let my vow go to hell, you know. And then, you know, Mahaprabhu says, now you've officially broken your vow. I don't care. I don't want to leave. And only when Mahaprabhu, like, you know, forcefully insists, does he, you know, collapse and finally turn back. So he had this extreme attachment for Mahaprabhu.